What it is, everybody? Welcome to episode 38 of Fish and Connoisseur, a movie. My name's David Pether, but you can call me Fish. With me, as always, my favorite sack of shit.
I know you told me not to do an enthusiastic one because the music's really soft at the start, but I fucking did anyway. Don't tell me how to live.
I was more saying that I wasn't going to be as enthusiastic as, because the, you know, it's not as upbeat. I didn't want to jump in with off, you know, off some nice soft piano and just be like, fucking yeah, what it is, you know. I just wanted to, you know, chill it up.
I understand.
So you were able to bring the energy back up, and now we've pointed it out and it's really ruined.
I just kind of wanted to, defy you, to be honest. So well, I feel like I've done that. Well, I tried to do that anyway.
Yeah, and there's nothing new there. Fucking hell. Okay, well, we put out a vote, Connor McDuff, to see what movie we would be reviewing this week. And it was between between Disney's Tomorrowland and The Rock's San Andreas.
And we both wanted to watch San Andreas.
So, of course, which one do we have to review?
We have to review fucking Tomorrowland. Thank you, everybody, for choosing fucking Tomorrowland, you fucking assholes, piece of shit bastards. You fucking pricks. God damn.
It wasn't a whitewash in the voting. It was only a few more towards Tomorrowland, so it wasn't like, you know, when we put up shit like the longest ride or the best of me and stuff like that.
Where people, fuck you guys still. Just fuck you all. Oh my god. Every fucking time I just forget how, like, you're all dickheads. You're all jerks. I don't even like you. I do. Please come back.
Well, I'm going to see Tomorrowland on, I went on Friday night, and I believe you did as well on a...
I did.
On a date, was it?
Yes, it was.
Was it a lovely...
This isn't for the people to know, man. Come on.
I know, I wanted to drop that in there.
I know you fucking did. I could fucking sense it. Come on, just leave it alone. What if she's listening to this and she's like, great, fucking awesome, now... My fucking movie experience is on the internet because Connor and his dumb friend with the beard decide to bring it up. Fuck you, David. Damn it.
Well, then my job would be done then. Well, anyway, that was I'm sure it was a lovely evening. You were a perfect gentleman as always, I'm sure.
You know what wouldn't be a good movie to see on a date? Robocop. Like, I feel like that's the sort of movie you would fucking take someone to see.
No,
RoboCop remake.
No, I wouldn't, because I couldn't give all my attention to RoboCop. I don't want some bitch next to me fucking, you know, like, whinging and you know, ruining my RoboCop experience.
No, I don't know, because RoboCop's a shit film, and you need to stop fucking veering it up like it's the best, because it's not. It's not the best, Dovid. It's not, okay?
Dovid?
Anyway, the date was fine. We had a great time, and we got a milkshake afterwards. Separate milkshakes. We didn't share the milkshake.
Oh, no. Damn it.
I knew you were going to ask that, so no. We got separate milkshakes. They were delicious. I actually think she got ice cream, but I got a milkshake, and it was a delicious shake. It was like choc honeycomb or something. It was a fucking delight.
Oh, shit, yeah.
You understand me? It was a fucking delight.
I absolutely understand you.
Jesus.
That sounds...
I'm so fucking worked up right now. I've got such an erection.
So I guess the date did go good then. Okay, well, I just saw it with a bunch of friends.
That's not what I meant!
I just saw it with a bunch of friends on a Friday night. It was a good time. But I did see some really cool trailers beforehand. A lot of kids' trailers, you know, with this, it being a Disney film. I saw a new trailer to Inside Out.
So what is, yeah, me too.
And it? That it's kind of cool. Yes. You're getting a bit more of the story rather than just like the, you know, the original teaser trailer just showed a bit of, you know, the characters inside people's heads and stuff, and now we see what's actually going on. Is it like happiness and sad get lost or something like that?
I feel like they're the main two, it seems. Happiness and sadness. Yeah, they get lost in the long term memory.
Yeah. And like we spoke about it briefly last week, but I'm always excited for Pixar. They just rarely go wrong. In fact, I can't say one movie that I was like, fuck, that was horrible. There's been a few that aren't quite up to the scratch that, you know, the masterpieces are, but I can't say that there's a horrible Pixar film.
I feel like it'll be okay. I'm not too sold on it though yet, is my fear. Like, I don't know. What was the last Pixar film?
I think it was Monsters University.
All right, that doesn't count. What was before that?
Maybe Brave?
Oh, fuck Brave. All right, the last two, not too good. But before, oh, and Cars 2. Fuck Cars 2. But like, it's like normally Pixar movies sell me like immediately. I'm just always just enthralled immediately. Yeah. But this one, not too sure yet. I have a lot of faith. Pixar really rarely does me wrong. I love Monsters University. I fucking hated Cars 2. And I hated Brave. I hated both of those films. But yeah, I don't know, to be honest. I'm still not too sold on it. We'll have to see.
Well, I think this is why I'm excited, because it's kind of coming back to that original Pixar formula that I love so well, in the terms of like they're showing us worlds that potentially are inside our world, like just you know, like yeah, the life, the other life of toys, or the other life of the monsters in your closet. And now we've got the secret life of the fucking voices in your head, you know. I like that's what I like.
You're very true. And, yeah, I totally agree. That's what they're good at.
And actually, I didn't even think about it, but you've just, you know, going back over the last few Pixar films, they've kind of been on a hiatus of that. Like, I guess Monsters University counts, but it's a sequel, so it's not a fresh new property that we're, you know, that they're slamming out there. Whereas this is new. Yeah. This is back to that magical worlds that I dig.
But I mean, like, you're right. But at the same time, it's not necessarily a great thing, because the, like, yeah, Toy Story and Bug's Life. What came after Bug's Life? It was, you know, they kind of. I just want to look it up real quick, because, like, some of them, you're right, the original films were. It's like, what if this, like, worlds within worlds, Toy Story, Bug's Life.
Like, even Cars, like, I would, even though it's, like, its own world, but it's kind of like, you know, the secret life of Cars, if they...
Yeah, I mean, like, I mean, the kind of the pinnacle is of The Incredibles, which is the secret life of a bunch of people with a secret life.
Monsters, I don't think that's the pinnacle at all. I think that's the most generic of them all, to be honest.
That's what I mean. Like, that's what I mean. Like, that's... It sums it up the most, because it's the secret, the ultimate secret life. You know, these are people.
Yeah.
But like Monsters Inc. That's it. You're Finding Nemo, Ratatouille. You're right. Wall-E and Up, and Brave are pretty much the only ones that aren't like that. You know.
Mm. Yeah.
Those are the only ones that don't go into that little world.
Yeah. Yeah. Wall-E. Can almost be, I guess, in a future world. Like, Up was its own thing, and it was just fantastic. And then Brave was just like a DreamWorks film.
Fuck Brave, it was. I hated it.
I didn't hate it, but it wasn't Pixar. And
But Up is probably Up. Some of their best writing and filmmaking, and I think, and that's a total. It's just a story, a beautiful story. But so is Wall-E.
Mm.
Both of those films are just beautiful films. Oh my gosh. But I mean, they do so much. They just do so much right, Pixar. I'm looking at all their films smiling. Like,
A
Bug's Life, and, you know, it's just all of this stuff. It's just, oh my God, the same person who wrote Bug's Life wrote Wall-E.
Yeah, right. Yeah, well.
I was very impressed.
That's like, I know what you're saying about Inside Out, though. I'm not. Like losing my shit over it, to be honest. Like I'm just excited because it's Pixar and I like where they're going with it. So I think that's good for me. But I'm actually more excited, and I saw a trailer for this one as well as a new one for the fucking Minions movie. I can't wait for that. I think that
I saw one as well. Yeah.
Was it like the new one where you see them, you know, throughout the ages trying to find an evil person to work with.
No. It was the one where they're in like San Francisco, wherever it is, and they're trying to get to some villain thing or something. I don't know. I went to pee halfway through it.
Villain Expo or something like that.
Yeah.
I saw another one where they, it shows them like way back in like the Stone Age and stuff. Like they're, this group of minions are working for a T-Rex, and then the T-Rex dies, and then they go and find another bad person to work for, and they all their masters keep dying, so it's like they're looking for their ultimate master. That's
yeah,
like,
I've seen that trailer.
Yeah,
I love that. Yeah.
Oh, it looks so good. Fucking hell, I'm like, I was pretty excited for it, but that one really sold it for me. It has all the humor that I expect from it, and I think it'll have the charm as well. And like, let's face it, Despicable Me is Minions. Like, I didn't really care about anything else in those movies other than the Minions, really. And I think it's the right move for them to be making a whole film based on these guys. So yeah, it'll be interested to see where that goes, but I'm probably a little more excited for that one than Inside Out. But they're both.
I've never seen Despicable Me 2.
Oh, really? You should. That's. I think that was probably better than the first one.
You reckon?
There's more Minion. That's why I liked it.
Yeah. Yeah, I should get on to seeing it. Actually,
I think I've seen that one twice in the movies. Actually, I quite liked it. But I've been watching a few other films since then. I did go and see San Andreas because I was excited to see that one. Did you get a chance to get around to that?
Nah.
Well, you know what? Not really that good. It was kind of lame, actually. I was pretty disappointed in it. The Rock was just so underused. Like,
really?
They tried to make him way too everyman, and not, you know, mountain man like he is.
Yeah.
Which is nice, and it's cool because he's relatable, I guess. But he just, I don't know. The writing was just pretty horrible. The acting was pretty horrible. Some of the disaster scenes were cool though. There's this fucking wicked scene where they're trying to beat the break of a tsunami as it's coming into shore, so they try to beat it before it breaks at the top so they can get over it before it fucking smashes everything. And like, there's a point where the boat is basically vertical going up this wave, and it's really well done.
I saw that. I saw that shot. It looked fucking sick.
Yeah.
Tsunamis are always cool as fuck. Always.
Yeah, yeah. So there's definitely no shortage of fantastic imagery in terms of the Earth getting fucked. But just like, it's just a lot of like really convenient, like, you know, there's one point where he just finds his wife on the top of a building of, you know, 100 buildings in the middle of San Francisco, and it's just, happened to be there at the right time. Well, I can't tell you that, but,
you can tell me, cause I'm not going to watch it. Don't tell me. I might watch it.
I was going to say our listeners might not have watched it.
I fucking changed my mind as I said that.
Yeah. I don't think it's a necessary cinema watch. It's if you're a fan of The Rock and just a fan of the film in general because of how it was filmed on the Gold Coast there, like that was, I think, my main draw to it. Like, definitely check it out when it gets released on home video. But I think I'm starting to realize something. Stuff that is shot on the Gold Coast and that we're quite familiar with, like, it, you know, when I was living there, it'd always be in the news, and we'd learn through our filmmaker friends of shit going on and who's doing this and doing all that sort of stuff. I think I scrutinize the film a little more than I would normally. So I think this is more that San Andreas just wasn't that good a film, but I didn't ever feel like I wasn't watching a movie, if that makes sense. Like, cool. I wasn't sucked.
Yeah, it's a popcorn film.
Yeah, but some like popcorn films, like I can just get sucked in and go with it. But like, I think because I was like looking at locations, like there's parts where I could see like the Pines shopping center up near Cooling Gataway. And you could see all the shit that's like obviously shot on the Gold Coast, and which is really cool, but it's also like, oh, I'm taken out of it now, and I start really looking at the crappy acting and the crappy like directing and stuff like that. So I don't know. It probably didn't help it, but I don't know. It's pretty generic. It's a, you know, by the numbers sort of disaster flick, like 2.5 out of 5 sort of shit. But anyway, should we get on to Tomorrowland?
We fucking should.
With big George Clooney, and we're familiar with this chick too, aren't we? From watching fucking The Longest Ride. Good God, we should not know her. But I believe you have a plot summary prepared for us.
What? No, I thought you were doing it.
Oh shit! Well, should we just get into it? Should we just review it?
All
Right, off the top of your head, go.
Let me just. I don't know. Tomorrowland follows Casey Newton, a teenage girl. Let me restart what is on the top of my head and definitely not what I'm reading. Tomorrowland follows Casey Newton, a teenage girl with the desire to do good for the world. Initially, we see her trying to help and save her dad's NASA engineering job by wrecking the cranes that are planning to destroy the launch pad, which his dad works on. This sparks the interest of Athena, a young girl who mysteriously gives Casey a colorful T-pin. When Casey first touches the pin, it transports her into a groovy new world set in a future metropolis. Enticed by what the pin entails, Casey goes on a hunt to find out more about it, leading her to a comic book store where she encounters two robots who, upon discovering she has a pin, try to kill her. As things are looking grim for Casey against her two robot baddies, Athena, the girl from before, saves the day and informs Casey that she has the ability to save the world! And that she must take her to a man, Frank Walker, who will help her in this endeavor. We also learn that Athena is a robot. Reluctant at first, Frank sees that Casey can save the world when a big confusing machine that knows the chance of the world ending changes from 100% to 99.9994%. Frank takes Athena and Casey to Tomorrowland, the place from the pin, the big beautiful metropolis place, which beforehand we're told he was exiled from before. We learn that Tomorrowland is a place where all the big, bad, smart geniuses meet, come together and try to figure out ways to develop the world and fix it. It's not a new world, it's another dimension. I don't fucking know. Let's move on. At Tomorrowland, we meet Nyx, Tomorrowland's pessimistic leader, who is reluctant to give Casey a chance after hearing she can save the world. He's also Dr. House. After a few moments of brainstorming inside a big tower that also works as the doomsday device Frank was using before, Casey finds a way to save the world, which Nyx rejects the offer of by knocking out George Clooney and telling them to fuck off back to Earth and live the rest of their days before the world ends. Nyx reveals that there's no way to really save the world, and that he was the one who helped cause the coming apocalypse by brainwashing the humans of Earth to believe it to be true, using his big, bad, stupid, dumb, fucking dumb golf ball machine. Revealing his true evil, Nyx battles the heroes and inevitably loses, not before killing Athena. It's revealed that Athena has a self-destruct sequence that activates upon her death and tells Frank to use it to destroy the doomsday device that will stop the brainwashing. He does, it blows up, and Frank and Casey go on to run Tomorrowland in a hope to find the greatest minds that will further help stop the end of the world by creating other little Athenas, little robots, to send out more pins to other brainy people. The fucking end.
Woo! Tomorrowland. There we go.
I'm good at this. I tell you what. I'm good at this.
Okay. So Tomorrowland, based off the theme park land in Disneyland, Disney World.
Disney World. Disney World, not Disneyland.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, Disney.
You fucking idiot. Disney, Jesus Christ. Fucking, what do you know? Genius.
Not much about Tomorrowland, to be honest. I have been there, though. I have been to Tomorrowland in Disney World.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Was it nice?
It's actually quite cool. It has one of the best roller coasters I've ever been on called Space Mountain. It's like a...
Space Mountain.
Yeah, it's like a dark...
Space Mountain.
You have been on it?
Yeah.
So you have been to Tomorrowland, then?
No, I've been to Disneyland in LA, not Disney World.
Oh, okay. Is there no Tomorrowland there? I thought there was.
No, Tomorrowland's Disney World. Mm. Tomorrowland's Disney World in Orlando. Remember.
Right. Well, I've been to the LA one, and I've been to Disney World in Japan.
Maybe Tomorrowland is in Disneyland.
I don't know.
Why the fuck are there two?
It's anyway. It's, yeah. It's an area in a Disney theme park, is what we will go with.
Yeah,
I thought it was cool. Like I was just there in January in Japan, at Disney World in Japan.
You go on the coolest holidays.
Sometimes, and I really liked it because it was it's kind of like the 80s version of the future. You know, obviously when Disney World was kind of kicking off, I don't know if it was the 80s or whenever it started, but it's like, you know, the version in the movie isn't quite the same as what it looks like in the theme park, but it's still fun to see. But I noticed that watching this film, especially from the start when they're at that World Fair and they jump on the the ride that goes into the small world.
The small world, yeah.
And that fucking song. Oh my god.
Oh, it haunts me, dude.
Yeah. I thank God when I was there in Japan, that ride had broken down.
Why? Why would you go on it anyway?
Well, you know, I was taking my girlfriend Beck, and she hadn't been on it, so I'm sure we would have gone on it, and it was kind of just a, you know, we didn't have to have that conversation. we didn't have to.
It's a small dodge that world.
Don't do it.
Yeah.
But I felt that for most of this film, I felt like I was like in this theme park ride. I was like it's very Disney, this movie. If that
so fucking Disney. Oh my god, it was so Disney. Oh, I can feel the Disney coming out of me. I can feel the hate for Jewish people and the subtle racism and the love for children. And the mouse is growing. Feel like I'm fucking Mickey Mouse.
Wow, I'm more just got the just the happy vibes and the purity. didn't get any of that.
Hey kids,
actually just
welcome to Tomorrowland.
I just watched a South Park episode where
the Jonas.
Yeah, Jonas one. Yeah, Mickey so that's all I'm thinking of right now.
Don't fuck with me.
Yeah. Yeah, fuck it, Al. What did we think of young George Clooney?
We don't know where to start.
It is.
Actually, that was probably one of the cooler parts in the movie was the start of it. Like, he's such a fun little kid, and he was really cool to watch. And, like, him making his jetpack and that scene where he's like, does it work? And then it's that sequence of him fucking up with the jetpack. Yeah. it was really funny. And, like, it was, like, this sense of adventure. Like, the start of this movie gave you this really cool sense of, like, exploration and adventure, and I was in love with it. Like, he gets into the I keep burping. I've got the hiccups, and I keep burping. I'm so sorry. He gets into the elevator thing, and it's like, you know, please put the helmet on. He can't reach the helmet, and he gets rocked around, and he's transported to Tomorrowland. And it's just this sense of, like, awesome fucking fun. And he gets there, and he's falling, and it's like, you know, obviously the kid's going to live, but it's cool. And the robot makes his jetpack, and he's flying around this new world. And you're like, wow, I can't wait to see this world and everything it brings, and what's this kid going to do? And then we go back to the 21st century.
Well, I really like that kid. I thought he was, like, he was very Disney Channel kid, for sure.
Yeah, he was.
And, like, just, you know, he had his little comb over. He was just, like, I know he was in the 60s or whatever, but he was, like, a dead ringer for fucking George Clooney, though. They cast him so well. Like,
I agree.
When you see, like, George Clooney later and they kind of have, like, a flashback here and there, like, that kid's eyes are exactly George Clooney's eyes. Like, it's almost scary how close.
Do you think George Clooney ages, or do you think he just, like, remains, like, a late 40-year-old man?
I don't believe he does age. He
I think he came out with a perfect combed over set of, like, of salt and pepper hair and just, like, perfect stubble.
Yeah.
And just this perfect jawline. And he was drinking Nespresso. He came out of his mum's vagina drinking Nespresso. Like, the fucking guy is just, like, he's just ridiculous.
Yeah. The only time that I noticed that he looks younger is when I reluctantly go back and watch Batman and Robin. He does look young in that, but it basically
You need to stop doing that, though. That's a problem you have, and you need to stop watching that movie.
That's a whole other conversation. Let's not do that. He's a good looking cat, and he doesn't seem to get any older at all. He's had the gray hair forever as well, so it's like he just rocks it. I quite like that he was just like a gruff sort of angry man in this one as well. Like, he wasn't just like suave George Clooney. He was kind of a dick to start with. But first,
he was. I agree.
Well, let's rewind it back, and we've come back to the now, the present time after George Clooney's clone kid has gone through all his adventures. And. And I agree with what you said. That opening was really cool. You got to see, it was really fun. You got taken to another world, and that's what this movie is kind of selling itself as, you know, adventure in another sort of in Tomorrowland. So now we meet up with Casey Newton, played by Britt Robertson, of, as we said before,
I hate her fucking face.
Oh, I know. Isn't she like, I don't know, like I didn't really hate her in Longest Ride, and I've seen her in Under the Dome as well, and she quite suited the character that she played in those ones.
It's a dumb show.
But I don't know if she really... She's not really the Disney mold.
She's not young enough either. She's like so fucking old, and it's so obvious. Like, that's an adult female sharing a room with a 10-year-old in her dad's house. That's very uncomfortable for me as an 18-year-old. I don't want to see that. I'm a conservative Christian male, and I find it inappropriate. But she's a fucking adult, and like... It's so obvious, and she plays this ditzy, like, naive teenager that teenager should have been someone like 4 years younger, and it's not, and you can fucking tell, and she's annoying.
And that's what I like, you know, from their extensive roster of fucking Disney Channel exclusive shows. I'm sure there was somebody in there that could have done this.
Bring
role.
Back Raven Simone. Bring her back from That's So Raven. She's great. She's an open homosexual. She's proud of herself. Good for you, Raven. You need to be the sort of person. Bring back Raven Simone. Everyone listening to this, write this down in the comments. # bring back Raven. Because that's so Raven.
But wouldn't she be fucking like 100 by now? Like she'd be pretty.
She's like 30-something.
Yeah. So that's even worse.
She could own it. She was a Cheetah Girl for 2 movies. I'm pretty sure she wasn't in the 3rd Cheetah Girls movie. But she could own it. I love Raven Simone. You get him, girl. You save Tomorrowland. Anyway, back to this other dumb bitch.
Yeah.
She's so annoying. Like, oh my God. Like, I know it's part of her character that she knows things and she asks questions, but it's fucking infuriating. The whole way through the movie, all she does is just harass George Clooney about everything, and I just wanted to knock her out.
Well, I didn't particularly, like, care about that. I think it was just, like, the way she was doing it. She was just being annoying. I don't know if she was supposed to be so annoying, and if it was just, like, her face is annoying. I don't know, but the way she was playing, it was just so, like, kind of over the top and annoying. But she...
Yeah, she was.
But I don't feel like they set her up enough to be this fucking whiz. Like, the only time that we see that she just, you know, she just understands things is when she helps the dad, played by fucking Tim McGraw.
Yeah.
What? Helps him, you know, puts a wire in a place and makes whatever the little gadget he is playing with at the start work. And then from there, it's like we're supposed to think that she's this fucking genius. Like, I picked...
Not from there.
What?
Sorry, keep going. I was just going to say, it's not from there that you're meant to think. Brad Bird would have sat there and gone, fuck, we really haven't shown that she's a genius. And so they just get every character that she interacts with to go, she knows things. Fucking hell.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, it's never really shown. She just sort of, you know, and she does get on the big fucking world Google map thing at the end, though, and just figures it out, which, you know, didn't look overly complicated, to be honest. But it's I don't know. It's just, she's supposed to be the mind that's going to save our fucking race, and I don't even understand what it is that she's good at or what she can do. What she particularly wants. Like, what is her whole goal with this NASA bridge? She just wants to save it, so she keeps, like, sabotaging them somehow? What the fuck was all...
I don't know. She's like... It looks like she's a fucking terrorist because she puts, like, what look to be bombs in all these cranes, and she does it so she can make sure her dad has a job because he says, as soon as the launch pad or whatever it is gone, I lose my job. And... I doubt that for a fucking first that a NASA engineer would lose a fucking job. And the second thing is, it's just so dumb. It's so dumb. Oh, my God. And then, the cops find her and shit, and she's put in prison, and there's that weird fucking dude with the hat. Who the fuck was that?
Yeah, I thought he was going to become somebody. I thought he might have been, like, one of the... The guy's hunting her down
the
later on.
At the end.
But not so much. Mm. He was just a weirdo. Just a weirdo getting bail. I did like, though, when I do like how the pin works, you know, that she's sort of just taken to this, to Tomorrowland. And or the
oh, that was cool, man.
And that it's like still, it's like a virtual reality thing. So when she moves around, she like runs into walls. And there was some good laughs with that. Like when she first runs into the wall and it's just like, what the fuck? And then does it again, goes back to the world. And she's sitting in the car playing with the thing. So when she goes back to Tomorrow World, she's like floating in the air as if she's sitting down, but you can't see the car.
I reckon that the pin was awesome. Like, that's such a great concept, especially for this sort of film. Like, I saw that and I'm like, that's so fucking cool, you know? Like, that is the future of advertising, virtual reality like that. That's great.
Yeah.
I thought it was excellent.
Because that's what it ends up being. That's what it ends up being, doesn't it? It's just like an advertisement. It's because Tomorrowland, as we'll find out later, is not quite as pretty.
Yeah. And when you think about it, and when you think about how the pin worked, it was great. Like, you know, she's taken on this adventure that she feels she's doing herself and she's actually not. I thought it was excellent. I thought it was a great, a really cool little bit.
Yeah. Like you said, really exciting. And that's something that I like, even watching that and like, and I'm excited for advertising to go that way because I want to do that shit. I want to have this feeling that I could be on that seat to go to fucking wherever that train's going. You know, I want to know what the next step is. Like, it's fucking brilliant and immersive and takes you into it. It's really exciting.
What do you, sorry, go, please.
Oh, I was just going to say, I also liked that she had to go out into like a field. And when the, you know, as the advertisement ends, she's fucking in the water in some swamp somewhere.
Like, that felt thought out too. Like, she wasn't just like luckily avoiding things. She goes out of her way to go to a field to be like, I'm not going to fucking like fuck this up. You know, like, I really admired that. It's hard to come by in a 21st century film. They just assume that, you know, the character gets lucky so much. What did you think of Athena?
I actually really like Athena.
Did you enjoy her character?
I did. I really like what they did with her, and later on with George Clooney.
The robots were probably the best part of the whole film because Athena was cool. Like, she was all right. The fucking bad robots were amazing. Amazing. Like, I was like, that's Brad Bird. Like, that is Brad Bird right there. Like, that humor.
I saw when those guys came out were fucking like Jim Carrey clones, like, you know, just guys with this really this really nice hair and just smiling all the time as they're telling you that they're gonna kill you. Fantastic. They were easily the best part of the film. I would have liked them to have been more of a thing later in the film. They're kind of only really in the real world, aren't they? They're trying to stop. Are they in they in Tomorrowland? I can't remember. Oh, they are. Yeah, they are. They are, but not. They're not. I think they're just like Hugh Laurie's henchmen. Like, they're just around.
I thought they were just people. This is my problem, by the way. I want to get into this. Well, the first thing I want to get into is, this is why I brought up these characters as well, is the script. I don't know if you realize this, but this film has some of the shittest writing I've ever seen. Oh my God, it was fucking bad, man. It was really bad. Like, this is more on the nose than Christopher Nolan's shit. It was just ridiculous. We have to go, Casey. We have to go now. We have to go to save the world. Like, are you fucking serious? Is that really, like, is that really a piece of dialogue you have to say like that?
Yeah.
It was really bad. And it kept going. Like it never stopped. And the fucking exposition too, like, that, you know, Nyx's big reveal when he's like, I'm the bad guy, idiots. Ha ha.
Yeah, that, you know, tells, like, everything. Yeah. I
just like, this is fucking awful. What?
I put most of the dialogue down to that it was like a Disney film. Like, not saying that you know, Disney are shit writers or whatever, but like, it felt like a, you know, a made for Disney Channel film, if
Yes.
You know what I mean?
It was a kid's film, and I understand that they're doing it so kids can understand. I mean, you have Athena is the one handing out pins, and at the end they create kids as for the robots. That hand out the pins, which makes no fucking sense. It would make more sense to just create adults. But like, they create like this thing, and it's like, obviously this movie's aimed at children. Everything about it is aimed for children, but that doesn't mean the dialogue has to be that trashy at all. Mm. Like, I've seen other kids' films by Disney that are fucking excellent with how they, with the way they can deal with that sort of dialogue.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Disney's great.
But I don't know if it actually was 100% aimed for kids, because watching the trailers and such, it all sort of, like, there was that one trailer where it's all just the scene before they, you know, they escape in the fucking bathtub in Frank's house. Like, that's a pretty full-on scene. And, like, to me, that was more aiming for late teen sort of stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I thought it was 20-teen, yeah. But, I mean, this film does have commitment issues. Like, I don't think it knows where it wants to be. I mean, it's 75% of this film isn't even in Tomorrowland, which is really disappointing too, because that's just the fucking best. I want to see it.
Yeah, and that's what I've
packs, man.
That's what I've like, a lot of my friends that have seen the film were mostly disappointed in, is they went to see a movie about Tomorrowland, and the only stuff we got to see about Tomorrowland was this advertisement, and then when we finally get to Tomorrowland, it's all fucked up.
I don't understand that, by the way. Why is it fucked up?
I was going to ask you, because I have no idea.
Because they get there and it's barren as fuck. Like, it's treated as if no one is there anymore. And I was like, okay, did Dr. House throw everyone out of Tomorrowland? But then you see that there's people there and he acts as if it's fine. Like, he's like, oh, yeah, I live here. Like, people who live here are just really smart. And I'm like, so why is it looking shit? Is it just meant to look shit because a bad guy's running it? Like, it didn't make any fucking sense at all. I never understood it.
I'm not... Well, can we nut out this whole Tomorrowland fucking dimension and all that sort of shit? So can we? Well, let's start from the start. They go to the Eiffel Tower at one point, and they've got fucking the dude who made the Eiffel Tower. They got
a bunch Nikola of, Tesla, Thomas Edison, and two other motherfuckers that I don't understand.
Smart
motherfuckers. And they made Tomorrowland as a place where the greatest minds come together in another dimension to help Earth. Like, they made it to create ideas for Earth without the need of money and power and corruption and greed and blah, blah, blah.
So that's the whole purpose of Tomorrowland, is the people there are trying to make it better in our dimension. That's their whole goal, right? Yeah.
Yeah. It's not a world. It's a fucking another dimension, which is bullshit to begin with. Just like, what? That's,
No, I don't really have a problem with that. I quite like that, actually.
I just wish it was like another world, or like they go into the future, like they literally jump into the future. I don't like that it's another dimension, you know, like
it
just opens up this new world of possibilities. Like, if the world's going to end, just fucking get everyone to it, like another fucking dimension, like one of the other zillions.
Well, that was my next question was, like, you know, what is the purpose? What are they doing? What is Hugh Laurie fucking doing in Tomorrowland now? Like, obviously, because they've built this fucking machine, which Frank built, didn't he? Is that right? Did Frank build that machine that, like, could tell the future, could predict the future? And he's predicted that the human race is going to ultimately destroy itself. And is the whole deal, is that particular idea is getting projected into our world, and we're just accepting that? Is that what it is?
It's like he created the ability to dictate when things are going to happen. So he knows the future pretty much. He knows when things are going to happen, blah, 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 blah. The future's going to end. And so Hugh Laurie's character went, well, fuck, we need to stop this. So the only way to stop this is to send it out and brainwash everyone to believe that it's going to happen and scare them into changing the world.
Yeah, okay.
But all it does, and then he's like, but you embraced it, didn't you? Oh, God save the Queen, I'm from London. And it's fucking annoying because it makes no fucking sense. And Hugh Laurie's like, I'm not letting any of these dumb shit humans in to Tomorrowland because they'll just wreck it and they'll make it shit. And it's like, well, the only reason humans... That's what he says.
Yeah, it's already
fucking
shit.
Humans are shit. Yeah, the only reason humans are shit are because you're a fucking idiot and you tried to brainwash... Oh, it's just like a paradox. Them,
yeah. I do like that idea, though, because I feel that is quite a commentary on how humanity is at some points. Like, if we know we're fucking doomed, it's kind of like, well, what can we do? Yeah, we may as well just fucking... There's nothing we could do about it. And I see that... Not particularly in such a high stakes thing, but I see, like, you know, people giving up a lot. Just in things in general, like, you know, certain dreams that they had, or, you know, even just finishing a video game, like, oh, fuck it, I can't get to the end of it, so whatever, you know, like, it's, and to see Britt yeah. Robertson's character throughout it being, like, so positive, I quite liked that contrast, and
I thought it was great. Yeah, it was a good bit of social commentary there as well. I totally agree with that, yeah.
Yeah, so I like, to me, I was actually happy going through this, because I was like, I felt some sort of hope for humanity by this, and I had a hard time trying to understand exactly why Hugh Laurie was such a bad guy, because, like, he did this brainwash thing. It was trying to help thing, and it just backfired. But then it's like, well,
he's not a bad guy
at all. That's what I mean. No, like, not really at all.
He's not.
It's really confusing.
He's just a smart dude who's like, you're all fucking idiots. Get out of my fucking house. You know, get out of my dimension, you motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Like, he tried and fucked up, but it's not his fault they're all dumb. It's just like, he's never, even at the start, this kid's entering a science competition, gives him a jetpack, and House is like, does the fucking thing work? And the kid's like, no, but I can dream, can't I? Yeah. And he's like, well, you're not going to win the competition because
with a broken
jetpack.
Yeah.
And the kid's like, well, kids can see me flying, and if they did, wouldn't it be great? And you're an idiot. And it's like, no, you're a fucking idiot. He's done the right thing. You don't win because your invention doesn't work.
You brought an incomplete invention to a competition. Yeah.
You're a dumb shit.
Yeah.
Hugh's fucking smart the whole way through it. And it's just like, and even his death, like, why would you, like, I was like, all right, he's done some dumb shit. He's a bit of a dum-dum. He's very selfish, but he's not a bad dude. And, like, even at the end, he's, like, genuinely kind. He's like, you know, look, I'm. It's really nice to see you again. Going to exile you, though, because I did fucking tell you if you come back, you're gone.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, I found it quite confusing because they play him off as, like that bad guy that you're talking about. The ha-ha-ha, this is my evil plan. I'm telling you everything with my evil exposition. But it comes back and then, then you realize, well, hold on a second. Like, he tried. He gave it a good crack, and humanity are the ones that have given up. He should keep going, and I don't know why he's banished. Because why did he banish Frank in the first place? I can't... What was that?
Frank made the fucking machine, and I don't know, and, like, he wanted to... He was like, if he left, he could never come back, and he left because the fucking robot girl, like, broke his heart or some shit. I don't know.
We'll talk about that in a second, but... it all comes back to, I'm still confused why fucking Tomorrowland is so deteriorated. I just assumed that it was because humanity was falling apart, so that had some sort of effect on Tomorrowland. I don't know.
Who knows anymore? Who knows? It's beaten me. David, the movie's beaten me.
The movie's beaten you.
I'm broken!
Did you get a slight bit of... hope or excitement or happiness when fucking our boy Keegan-Michael Key came into another fucking movie?
Yes, he's in every fucking movie we watch. What is going on? Every time we review this sort of film, he just is in it. I don't understand anymore. It's always movies that we're reviewing as well. He's always fucking there.
I know. He must just be friends with everyone in Hollywood because he's
I reckon he's just...
And he's always just got, like, bit parts as well. He's never, like, the lead or, you know, like, a supporting act. He's just, like, this funny fucking idiot with dreadlocks and Let's Be Cops. He's the producer, the record label producer in Pitch Perfect 2, which I actually liked him in. But this, I don't know, I wasn't really a big fan of him in this one. I thought he was kind of, back to that just boring Keegan-Michael Key shit that he'd been.
He really wasn't that great in this one.
Because he was him and that other chick from, is that the chick from Step Brothers? D-Man's wife or whatever it is. Who wants to roll
she's fucking awesome. She's great.
Yeah. Those two come in and they own this fucking like nostalgia shop, which is full of, like, Star Wars. And that was a fun... How much Star Wars fucking reference was in this movie, by the way?
Yeah, there was a lot of references, man. Like, there's a lot of Star Wars references. There's some incredible references in there.
Yeah, it was a lot of that. And I think that was really
good. Cool. Job, Brad Bird. Suck your own cock some more. Jesus Christ.
No, I thought that was cool. I thought it was fun. That there was like a figurine of the bad guy from Incredibles at one point, and the Star Wars music starts as Keegan-Michael Key opens the fucking door.
Yeah, that was a good bit. I like that bit.
Mm. That was a lot of fun. And that fucking time-stopping thing that... Athena threw down, and as the two robot people were about to shoot Casey, and her hand was like frozen in the dome. I thought that was really cool. Like, I liked that in that entire sequence. I didn't really like.
Yeah, that was cool. That was the one action scene.
Yeah.
The one scene where the guys actually fight.
And then that's when after that when the police are sort of checking it out, that's when those robot guys, the Jim Carrey lookalikes, come up, and they're just fucking brutal and just shoot that cop. And that's like any time that those bad guys were around, it was kind of like shit. But what were
awesome.
What were these robots? Were they were working for Nyx? Is that right?
Yeah. So they were working for Nyx, and Nyx doesn't want anyone to come into fucking his land. End of tomorrow and whatever, so he's like, don't you fucking let anyone in. So anyone who gets a pin is pretty much fucking killed, because he doesn't want anyone to know about Tomorrowland anymore, because the world's gonna end. He doesn't want any humans in.
I still don't understand why he doesn't want to let humans in. Does he just think that they're gonna kill Tomorrowland that's already fucked anyway? So well, let's talk about the relationship between Athena and George Clooney.
Yeah, Athena and George Clooney, they were cool. Like, they were probably, like, this movie had so much potential. Oh, my God. Like, their bits were great. We start off with them initially, and we see them as kids, and then, you know, you've got this dumb fucking blonde idiot who just rocks up and fucking ruins everyone's fun. But, like, this movie could have easily been just George Clooney and Athena hanging out. Like, she meets up with him again, and it's their relationship solidifying, because it was such a great dynamic to see this young girl who's a robot, and like him inevitably coming to terms with the fact that this girl that he loved growing up for so long, who changed his life, is a robot, and he finally accepts that at the end of the film, because that moment where he drops her in is beautiful. Like, a beautiful moment.
Yeah,
that's so great, and I just wish this movie had more of that with them, and like just take out this dumb bitch. I hate her.
Well, this is where I have to say that, you know, they wrote it right, and they, you know, Brad Bird fucking nailed it. Clooney nailed it, because that relationship could have been a really awkward, weird thing. Like, it's a grown man in love with a child, basically. And they danced that line and didn't make it weird. Well. Didn't make it weird at any point. And I believed it the entire time. Like, I was, and like, George Clooney just fucking nailed it, man. Like, when she's dying at the end, or, you know, about to blow up, or whatever happens when robots die. That was, like you said, really, really touching. Back on Athena as well, like, I want to say that the fact that she was a robot just let them have a lot of fun with her. Like, you could never see a 10-year-old kid get fucking smashed by a car in a movie.
Oh, that was great.
Like,
yeah.
Fucking hell, that was so crazy. And like, and just the how badass she was. Like, she kicks so much ass in this movie. She's very legless. Which I appreciated.
Yeah, she is.
So
So
yeah, a lot of fun with that. And you're absolutely right. Like, if this could have just been a George Clooney vessel, and which it's sold as, I might add, like, nobody knows who this Britt Robertson chick is. But apparently she's the fucking flavor of the week, the flavor of the year, I must say. Cause she's, you know, like we said, the Under the Dome fucking Longest Ride. I seen another movie on Apple TV just before that she was in. I'm like, fucking, why is everybody loving this chick so much? Like,
she's so annoying. I don't like her at all.
Like, well, the thing is, like I said earlier, I don't really not like her, but I don't think she suited this role.
It's because she's just a fucking, she's basic, and she's probably fucking like, just, she's probably cheap and she's easy to, like, to direct. She's a middle class, blonde haired, fucking Hitler's godchild white girl, blonde hair, blue eyes, nice skin, looks a bit like Jennifer Lawrence, is the perfect age. Like, she just fits all the gaps for a generic Hollywood film. And I'm sure they're all looking at her like it's a Nicholas fucking Sparks film used her to play a basic bitch. And that's what she is. She's a basic bitch in this who fucking just knows things. That's the difference. She's giving girls hope, David, because she knows things. Even though she does is fucking yammer on and annoy everyone. And why isn't it just George Clooney and Athena? Why wasn't that a thing?
Well, hey? this is what frustrates me the most, is that they can make a 50-something-year-old man in love with a child work, but they can't write their fucking hero. Like, come on.
Yeah, their middle-class white girl hero, the easiest of heroes to make.
Yeah.
Aside from a middle-class white guy. Like, it's just there. It's written in front of you. Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah, that was a pain in the ass. This movie's convoluted as fuck. Jesus. So that's a little aggressive. That came from the heart, that one. I don't have to put that on. This movie has a lot of problems. And to be honest, I don't know what else to really say about it. It's just something. It's just really something, this one. Just all really right. Something.
Well, let's wrap it up. What's your final thought?
Let's just wrap it up. Look, I think this movie had a lot of potential. Tomorrowland was so cool, and it was just the daggy sci-fi that I really wanted to see. Disney, the future Metropolis sci-fi, and I just wish they held it in that, like, fucking Jennifer Lawrence B-grade goes back into Tomorrowland with George Clooney as an older person there on the run the whole time in Tomorrowland. Like, when they're taking off in the bathtub, that's what I thought of. Like, fuck, they're going to go to Tomorrowland in this bathtub. How cool. But they don't. And it's annoying. Like, I wanted to see that world, and I wanted to see everything it brings, and I never did because they never want to take you there. Instead, they want to take you into some fucking fields and have a play with a pin for a bit, and then nothing fucking happens. It was super disappointing, and I'm super disappointed. Also, the writing is trash, okay? That was really bad. I've seen student films written better than this, and I fucking hate student films because I'm a fucking student. Ah! I hate this shit. I didn't like the script, and I didn't really like the movie, to be honest. It was entertaining. It was filler, but it was bad filler. It was pretty bland. I'm going to give it a 2 out of 5.
Yeah, I could see that coming.
It was too long, too. Way too long. Way too long.
Was it? Hell, it was. Yeah, it was over 2 hours, wasn't it?
2.5 hours.
Holy shit, really? Was it that long?
Yeah.
Fuck, I didn't notice that. Look, yeah, this movie has a lot of problems. Like, factually and just logically, it doesn't back itself with its exposition. Its reasoning is all off. The hero is kind of no one. But I did see a lot of good in it also. You're saying the writing's trash. I don't think it's trash. I think there's definitely bits where they fucking lost the plot somewhere. It's like they gave it to, you know, Brad Bird's son came in and started writing for a bit, and then I don't know. Like, it's like where because, like, things like the relationship with Athena and Frank, like, that was just so good, and some of the action sequences were so great. And the ideas that they had were really great. It's like they just didn't capitalize on them, and they didn't go through with them. And, like, the big granddaddy of them all, the fucking, you know, Tomorrowland idea, which everybody came to see, and they don't take you there, is just, like, it is pretty unforgivable. Like, that's really been the biggest downfall for everyone else that I've spoken to. I don't know. It didn't really affect me as much, though, because I honestly wasn't all that fucking jived for this movie. I wasn't all excited about a sci-fi futuristic world. There's something about that wasn't sitting with me. And I kind of liked that we spent a lot of time in the real world, and that this was another dimension that they could jump backwards and forward through. I think they spent too much time in the real world. Like, it takes way too long before they go anywhere. Which, you know, should have happened maybe in the first 40 minutes of the film, of this 2.5 hour film. But I just think they needed to really work on the Casey character and make her likable, because she just isn't. And
she really,
She's just a fucking idiot. And like I said, I don't really... apparently, she's the smartest person ever. But she, like I said, I don't have any problems with the actress. I just have the problems with this character and the way that she's played it. And now it's kind of made me be like, I don't know about her anymore. Like, she was kind of just like, yeah. I don't really care who she, if she's in this movie, it's not going to make me want or not want to see it. But so before I fucking wrap it up, but was her whole thing, the only thing that they were going to do when they got her to Tomorrowland, she was just going to basically think positively?
She was just going to save the world. They just knew that somehow she was going to change things. But she didn't even save the world. She just fucking, like, blew up the bomb, the place. And she didn't even do that. George Clooney did that. She literally did nothing. I have no idea. I don't know what she was meant to do.
Yeah.
I don't know what anything was... I don't know anymore, man.
Case in point, fucking that character. But I did like the positivity, the positive message that this movie is pushing. I found like the whole way through it, I just had this really happy feeling about me that I was, because the characters we were following were dreamers and not pessimistic, you know, bastards. Fucking people who've given up. They want to better the world, and they want to be better people in themselves. And like, I think we can all learn a lot from that. And that's what really resonated with me the most. And so the hope of better worlds and better, you know, better living and fucking whatever. And the sense of wonder with the brief, you know, scenes of adventure that we got were really cool. And that whole theme park feel about it all, and that Disney feel, like, I really dug that. It's such a pure, like, innocent sort of film. And I guess I didn't really have much of a problem with the dialogue as much, because it was kind of that way. Like, I could definitely identify that it's not written well, but it's like, I don't know. It's just something. It's that Disney Channel vibe that I got from it that I was able to just roll with. And I came out of the movie like quite satisfied. And it wasn't until I started actually talking about it and thinking about it, I was like, shit, man, that was super flawed. How did I not notice that? Maybe I was just like in a really good mood watching it. Yeah. Like I came out, I went with about maybe five other people, and all of them were kind of like, and like, Beck was like super excited for it. And even she was like, yeah, I just wanted to see more Tomorrowland. Which is a fucking valid point, but like, I don't know. I actually had quite a good time with this film. I don't know if I could watch it again, because now I'm aware. I think I was just blissfully unaware while watching it, or just being ignorant. So I give it a 3.5. Like I quite liked it. And it's like, that's purely based off the enjoyment that I had while watching it. It's hard, because like, I feel like I should be bringing it down from this conversation, but like, my memories of it are still quite positive. So yeah, I give it a 3.5. I don't know if it's worth fucking running out to cinemas to see, like, if you are excited about it, you know, wait for DVD or something. But this is bombing big time in the box office and shit. Like, San Andreas is shitting all over it.
Yeah, of course it is.
But this makes me sad, because I just read that Disney have now canned their Tron sequel.
Why?
And people are thinking that it's purely based off the reception of Tomorrowland, which is, you know, kind of a sci-fi, other dimension sort of film. And now they're just going to focus more on their big properties like Marvel and Star Wars. And I was like, no, I want a fucking Tron sequel. I love Tron Legacy. Holy shit. Yeah. So that makes me sad. And if it all comes down to this fucking movie, I'm going to have to drop it to a 1. because if you killed Tron, fuck you. But there you go. There's Tomorrowland. Connor despised it. I didn't mind it.
I don't despise it. I've given worse scores.
This is true.
I've given it once. It was just true. Shit. It was just pretty shit. Oh, well. Anyway, what's next week, David?
Well, next week, we've got two movies that, you know, aren't really fucking blowing anybody's minds by the sounds of it. We've got The Entourage film. And we've got Aloha.
All right, Entourage. I don't want to fucking watch Aloha at all.
Oh, really? Why is that?
Fuck that. I just don't have an interest in that at all. I don't want to watch Aloha. It's a chick flick, and I'm sick of doing them. I'm just sick of doing that same. Let's just watch Entourage. It looks good. It looks different. It's based off a TV show I've never seen.
Never seen it either, so we're going to bring all our knowledge of the new movies to Entourage. I think Entourage will be the bigger film of the week. Aloha, I don't know. I am kind of interested in it.
I'm not.
I'm the director and writer of Jerry Maguire, so I don't know. But I feel like it would just be another, one of those boring conversations that we could have, whereas we could talk about things that we don't know, like Entourage. I'm sure there's a few laughs in it. The trailer looks quite good, so I might try and go and watch a few episodes of the show to get some sort of basis for it.
I'm not watching shit going in blind.
Yeah, right.
Fuck it.
But until then, guys, check out our backlog of other podcasts. We've done
so many. Oh my god!
I know we're up to 38 different
38
films.
Of these. 38 weeks of our lives have been taken up by, well, generally more like one night, two nights, three for you, two for me, and then when we do double features or Boxing Day or have to record two in a week, then it's like four. It takes a lot of fucking time up, this stuff. Like, it takes an awful amount of time. Jesus Christ.
So go check out our old episodes, guys. They're all up there. You could go to our podbean.com and search Fishing Connoisseur a movie. Our lovely mugs will come up, and there's 38 different podcasts. Some have one or two movies in them. You check them all out. There's all the descriptions there. But if you've seen a film, check out what we thought about it. Compare your notes. Fucking come and give us shit on our Facebook. Fishing Connoisseur a movie podcast. Just get amongst it, guys. We wanna bring the conversation to you guys as well. So please give us your opinions. If there's something we're doing wrong that you're fucking hating, keep that to yourself.
Don't fucking comment on my microphone, by the way. I have to talk through a computer because David lives in Melbourne. So if you have a problem with how I sound, fucking eat shit because I can't do anything about it. Okay, I just can't. Just leave me the fuck alone. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to deal with it.
Please give us your feedback, positive or negative, and positive or negative thoughts on the films.
Get us a job on radio. If you know people who want radio presenters, we can come on. I won't swear. David won't like RoboCop. It'll be a fucking great mix of people. But get us on radio, if you want to. It's up to you what you feel, but we would both love jobs in this. Because it's easy. It's really easy.
we watch a movie and talk shit about it every
week. We can talk shit about anything, though, I think. I reckon this could be called Fish and Connor Have an Existential Crisis, and it's just the two of us like talking shit about life, and we could probably do pretty well.
Yeah, I agree.
We're pretty good at it.
We like to have a yarn. We like to have a yarn. But, at the very least, please share our shit. Get it out to your friends you think might like it. And help us get more listeners, because that is what this is all about. Getting our word out there to the people.
Yeah, it's power to the people. Or, just do what Fish said. Anyway, I'm losing my mind. Play the music, Fish!
Thank you for listening to this episode of Fish and Connoisseur a Movie. Fish and Connoisseur a Movie does not own any rights to the film Tomorrowland, its marketing, or its soundtrack, and no infringement is intended. The track Zephalem from Tomorrowland piano version single is performed by Hollywood Movie Theme Orchestra.